proceed to add them?
I want to read it.
Just want to read it.
I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it.
We're going to spend some more time on time. Let's go to Romans 8. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, it's generally recognized that one is in the flesh. If you make your judgments and view of life based on your sensory perception, that's what's called being in the flesh. Okay? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And it goes on. We've studied the rest of this many, many times. Now go down to 22. For we know... What?
It says if you... But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, that means that... We say the Spirit of God dwells in all men.
No, we say that the seed of Christ dwells in all men. That's what the Spirit did to the human race. Okay. But anyway, that if there is ice.
In view of the fact that the Spirit of God...
But the point of it is, it doesn't matter. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. That's the only way the germ of life can be released.
Okay, so even though the egg, the seed is there, the Spirit... not there unless there's conception.
Right. The only way there's conception is you, as a human race, as the sperm cell, joins the egg of the New Jerusalem and loses its identity.
Right. And that's by the will of God that happened, not by the will of man. Right.
Well, but it's, you know, again, you've heard me say often, God knows the end. God has seen the end of the movie. All men have the capacity, but God has seen the end of the movie. That's where they get this whole idea of the Calvinism of the elect and who's the elect and who's not the elect. And it's none of our business who is. But to all men has been given the opportunity to become that child of God. But all men don't. So it's not, when you say it's by the will of God, well, it's the will of God that anybody has the option.
Yeah.
Okay, but this is the important part. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, the adoption, remember, is the placing of the Son, huiothesios. It's the placing of the fullness of the Son in you, so that His expression in you is full and complete. Now, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Once you see it, you're no more hoping, you know. You know that you know that you know. But the only way you can see it is by your death. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians.
That puts it out of the sensory realm.
Right.
Right, and the event.
There's this huge, it's almost like an impenetrable steel gate. In the spirit, in the natural, it was the veil of the temple. And that veil was your flesh, his flesh, but it's also your flesh. And that veil has to be torn from the top to the bottom, and it's torn by your repentance, by your abandonment of self, by your acceptance of your death. Because you really never lived. That's what you really see. You really see that there's been this being masquerading as you for your whole life. And you've taken little pieces of all over the place to define who you are. Now this will get you killed to talk about this. Okay, 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. Now, from the concept of, remember, I write unto you, little children, or darling infants, because your sin is forgiven. I write unto you, the next one is adolescents, because you know the Father. The only thing that keeps you there is you know the Father. Prayer doesn't help. Bible study doesn't help. But you're anchored somehow because you know the Father. That I write unto you, young adults, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. And then that's tested for a period. And then it says, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with Him from the beginning. And so this process is really the process of emptying. It's equally available to all men. But the repentance has to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower until you finally understand that you owe your emotions nor your mind anything. But you can't know that until you run the rabbit.
It's interesting that religion is the exact opposite of that statement.
I know.
Stop doing what you're doing or you'll go to hell.
Well, religion is stupid. The word religion in Greek, it means to bind with iron or steel bands.
Yeah.
And it's just you're just a muzzled dog. You're still a mad dog, but you got a muzzle on.
Yeah.
That's why you have to put on a show. You have to make a fair show in the flesh by all the ways that you don't trust yourself. So you don't say what's there. You just sort of mouse around and tiptoeing through the rules and laws until you so no one knows what's going on within you. And that's just an abomination. And it'll keep you locked in the lower sphere your whole life. You cannot see in that position. It's not a matter of you could, you shouldn't, you cannot. Well, that's just the way I am. No, it isn't. That's the way all men are. Do you think anybody likes to just say what's there all the time?
And that's carnality, right? That's bought into the religious lie.
Well, when you try to circumcise yourself, it's certainly carnality. The meaning of the spirit of this whole mystery of salvation is you've taken the governors off. All the little governors of your behavior that you've learned your whole life, they're gone. And it has to be every and only and totally God's business at every time. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. That means I'm going to act like I'm bought with a price. No. That's why most people, they need converts. Because, the need for bigness comes from unbelief. Well, I must know what I'm talking about. Look at all these people following me. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. It's never your death. You're already dead. And this evil one has raised himself with your assistance from the deadly head wound. And he's setting himself up in the temple of God. You as the temple of God. He has set himself in that temple, showing himself that he's God, because he looks around, he judges what he likes, what he don't like. This is good, this is evil, blah, blah, blah. That's why, you travel over sea and land to make one convert. When he is made, you make him twice the child of hell that you are. You're already a child of hell because of the fall, and now you put all of the plus and minuses and do's and don'ts. So the law has not served its purpose, which is to shut up your mouth, and all the mouths are your mind, so that all the world will become guilty before God. But now you've got to act like you know something. And you've never tested it. You've been afraid to push your beliefs to the edge. So you can live in this illusion of narrow parameters where you can prove to yourself anything. Anybody understand me?
Yeah, you build your own safety net.
Anybody disagree with me? This has, as someone once said, this has staggering implications. It means that we're all jokes. Running around inventing ourselves. All right. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And mortal means dead. You remember that? So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. In other words, you can't speak. Somebody can't tell you to speak so you can make converts and go have visitations. You can only speak if you believe, and you can only speak what's been worked out in you. Otherwise, it's just tinkling brass. Must be playing a cymbal. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not. We never quit in our mind. That's what fainting means. You're no longer tempted to lean on your own arm of understanding for anything. You've looked and seen and tested all of your previous beliefs and ideas and what you thought was right and what's wrong, and you've seen they've all failed. You've pushed yourself to the limit, and you found there was no there. And you quit believing the comic book of your own identity.
It's interesting, this fainting is like not... You don't pass out, it's you pick up your own strength.
Yeah, fainting in here. Fainting just means you've left the mercy seat.
Yeah.
You've gone to your own understanding.
Yeah.
All right.
Which implies, and which is actually an effort on your part, not a passing out on your part.
For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. And I promise you, once this happens, when that, that silver has been taken off the glass, and so all you can do is see, how does this affect me? And all you can hear is say, what does this mean to me? And how does this the silver's taken off, and wherever you look, you see the New Jerusalem. You see God is all and in all. You see the perfection of his holiness wherever you look. And you rest in that. It's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. Your warfare is over. But as long as you think in time, then you're simply going to continue going up and down, carried about by every wind and wave of doctrine. And all the little voices of your mind and all the little emotions that you might have. Now, let's look at one thing quickly. I'm getting tired of talking already. Hebrews 12. Go back up to verse 37 of 11. This is where the whole of 11 is talking about what happened in faith to the other people. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, except ours, it's of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Now the word for, who for the joy, is the word hooper in Greek. And it means instead of, who instead of the joy that was set before him. Because the joy that was set before him on the Mount of Transfiguration is that all of time and space, all the law had fulfilled its peace, fulfilled everything. And he was transfigured before the eyes of the disciples. His job was over. But instead of that joy that sat before him, he was about his Father's business. And his Father's business was to return so that the bride could come forth. Everybody understand that? So it looks like, from the standpoint of perceiving in time, well, obviously that's something, there was an event in time. But, and as long as you're involved in the sphere of hope, then you will see all these little penultimate events in time. But when you see and you look from the top down, then you see all is finished. And that's available. That's your inheritance. That's where it says you have an inheritance. You possess it. Now you maybe just possess it every once in a while, but you must dwell in it. And dwelling in it, then you're in that place, in the arms of the Lord. There is no more struggle. You're at the first source of all things. You live totally by faith. You pay no attention to your senses. And that's your rightful place. The only thing it costs you is everything you once held dear. Because what you once held dear is crap in the first place.
Yeah, you see, right? It's not held dear anymore.
That's right.
It's not it.
That's why you, the last thing before the wedding, the apprehension and being apprehended by Ecclesiastes. And faith is as easy as breathing. takes no effort to walk away from done. A little bit.
I never quite considered that moment of transfiguration and what that meant. He really had no other choice but to go back down because he would have been denied who he was to.
No, but it must have it because instead of the joy that was set before him.
Well, what joy would have been set before him? Without the bride,
the cessation of all suffering. At that point, he could have done everything that he could have healed at any point, but at that point especially, he could have healed everybody. He could have made sure there was no more heartache in the world. He could make sure that every homeless person was taken care of. He could have made sure that everybody had perfect understanding.
So like King of the Universe, he was all-powerful, he was God.
But it wasn't in the will of God. So if I yet please men, I cannot be the servant of God. Now, that gets big when you understand it. What's going on, Mr. Kevin? The wheels are turning.
I was talking to somebody last night about decisions and how do you know what to do, what not to do. And we've been talking about time and here and how God sees time. And it's difficult for us to even understand it because we're made in time.
Man.
We think... the last moment was, this moment was dependent upon the previous moments, and what I do in this moment affects the next few moments. But to God, like you said, He's already seen the end of the movie. It's as if there was a timeline. It's already been predetermined from the beginning to the end, and everything's happening at once to Him. I mean, as if He could. If he had limited ability to focus attention, which he doesn't, but he would see every moment happening at the same time.
Amen.
So if you understand that, why are you even concerned about a decision? Because you can't do anything against that ordained timeline.
You can do nothing against the truth. The only thing you can do is remove yourself from value to God.
What we do, though, is we imagine alternative futures. If I don't do this, something will happen. And that's not God's going, why are you going over there? I'm not there.
Right.
Why do you go
that's why now is the accepted time of salvation. The moment is the only place we can intersect with God. Our mind has the ability to go to alternate existence.
It's hard for us to conceive that a believer never has to make a decision. You have an option, you do nothing, you wait.
Well, what I was trying to say to this person is, because she was saying, should I make an effort to do this and make this phone call? Or I was saying, well, you know, that's what you're wanting to do, so do that. Either give what you have or express the need that you have.
Amen.
And the next moment will take care of itself. It's already been predetermined. We have confidence that the story ends.
And I must have had that discussion with people probably more than any other thing over the 35 years. How do I know? You shouldn't know. Just be.
And they always want an answer that satisfies the mind.
See, it's funny that we'll watch movies over and the same movie over and over, and we have this ability to forget what happens next, so that we can experience, re-experience something, crisis or suspense. how that's...
You mean people watch the same movie more than once? Why?
Because they forget.
I've probably watched Frankenstein 50 times.
There it is.
It's a problem.
That explains a lot about your personality.
Hey,
that also explains a lot about your personality. Take it large person.
Quickly.
What?
We'll always have Paris.
We'll always have Paris.